The Schlereth and Evans podcast is sponsored by Xfinity. Xfinity is the best way to stream your favorite live sports on the next generation Xfinity 10G network.
Welcome to Four Down Territory. As Stink and Mike take a look at the four biggest stories in Denver sports. Here's Schlereth and Evans kicking it off with First Down.
Matt Smith in for Mike Evans. Thanks for locking in. Mike will be back tomorrow. Mark Schlereth in the building. First up in four down territory. The Avalanche last night, 7-4 losers at home against Dallas. And in doing so, probably gave the division away. Jared Bednar said, just not good enough.
I like that we didn't go away. I like that we kept fighting after giving up the three shorthanded or power play goals. I think you're going to look at it 5-on-5. We did a lot of really good things. Just the bottom line is, like, we had to go earn everything we got, and there's too much there that I didn't feel like they had to earn that we gave them. I didn't hate our team game overall. It's got to be better in the defensive side of it especially, but I liked what Gorgie did tonight.
Mark, the Avs were on the penalty kill for almost six consecutive minutes there in the second period, and Dallas cashed on all three of them. Mm-hmm. Look, when that happens, you put yourself so far behind the eight ball that, especially without Mikko Rantanen in the lineup who missed Sunday's game with a concussion, it's going to be really hard when you beat yourself to beat a really good team like the Stars are.
Yeah, one thing about the Stars, it never felt like there was a lot of open eyes for the Avs. Like, he just got everything. It was just a grind, and there was enough turnovers. There's enough things that happened where I felt like, you know, chances wise, they just completely outshot early that first period. They were just cruising, shots on goal and stuff. But I just felt like they got more easy opportunities based on breakdowns by the Avs, and the Stars aren't giving up anything easy. That's just how I felt.
It looks like it's going to be Winnipeg in the first round.
Yeah.
It's a tough matchup for the Avs. They've lost to Winnipeg several times this year. Winnipeg has a Vezina candidate in Connor Hellebuck in goal. That's not an ideal first round matchup, but at the same time, some of the wild card teams in the West are absolutely buzzing right now.
Yeah, is there any ideal matchup in the West?
No, but for the Avs, I think this is important, and I'm glad you brought it up. The Avs played the pick-and-choose game a little bit with Seattle last year. They aired out the tires to go for the division. They got the division. This year, it's more about them and what they need to do. They've got to still tune a few things up here before playoffs. So we'll see. Final week of the NHL regular season for the Avalanche, but they are at home for a couple of games, so that's good. Mm. That is good. Coming up.
Second down.
Oh, 10 games into the season? You're hurt already?
It's all part of it, you know. I try to practice what I preach and kind of what I'm telling these guys. It's just, you know, it takes courage to show up every day in this game. This game teaches you a lot of downs. You know, but just showing up and putting in the work, and, you know, I know that I'm out there giving all I got, and at the end of the day, you know, that lets me put my head on the pillow. You know, and feel good about myself. But, you know, I know I have three boys waiting to give me a hug right now, and, you know, that really makes anything that this game, this year's pretty easy to handle now.
Uh-oh. 10 games in, and he's missed two of them already. Now he's got a stiff back again. Chris Bryant had to miss action again this weekend, Mark.
It just makes me question what kind of pillow you're putting your head on.
I mean, like, you got to wonder.
Stiff,
sleep by number?
Yeah.
Tempur-Pedic?
Stiff pillow.
I mean, got to upgrade the mattress, right, man.
Something.
It's weird it happened at home, though, and not a Holiday Inn Express. Right. Or what was it, a Super 8?
Yeah, something like that.
A La Quinta?
Yeah, well, prison bed.
And that too.
Yeah, they stayed. I don't know. Like, hey, listen. Like, the message is good, you know, you got to just be thankful, and boy, I tell you what, when they're paying you the kind of money they're paying you, people expect you to produce.
Oh,
He's got
no kidding.
Where is he? About 100? Is it? Is
yeah, I think he's a cool 107.
107.
Yeah, cool 107. Yeah, right now 265 OBP, 3 hits and 28 at bats this year for Chris Bryant. Yeah. He grounded into a double play with runners on base that could have been very pivotal yesterday. So, or not yesterday, the day before.
You couldn't hit water if you fell out of a.
He did homer on opening day, so maybe that's the one for the year.
Sure.
All right.
Third down.
It just sucks. I do feel bad for him. I do a little bit, but at the same time, he is getting relentlessly booed. We'll get back to the Rockies here coming up in just a second. We saw the women's national title game yesterday, and Caitlin Clark has been taking a little bit of heat from legends of the game. And afterwards, after the trophy presentation, Dawn Staley, recognizing her platform, understood the assignment.
I want to personally thank Caitlin Clark for lifting up our sport. She carried a heavy load for our sport. And it just is not going to stop here on the collegiate tour. But when she is the number one pick in the WNBA draft, she's gonna lift that league up as well. So Caitlin Clark, if you're out there, you are one of the GOATs of our games, and we appreciate you.
That's awesome.
All class right there.
Yeah.
All class.
100%.
All class.
And Dawn Staley is, she's 100% correct. I mean, what that young lady did, going back to last year, what she has done for women's college basketball, putting that on the map, again, it's going to be a tall order to do that in the WNBA, but really cool. Really cool. And there is. Every night, she's got that pressure to hit them three. She's got that pressure because you know that's the number one focal point when you're playing Iowa. You want to take her out. You want to be able to, you know, place physical with her, disrupt her shot, all those things. And yet every night she showed up and hung 30 on people just about every night.
What does she have to do in the WNBA to make people care about it like they cared about the run this year?
Be interesting. I'm not sure that anybody will care about it as much because it's not, one, it hasn't, you know, it just doesn't have the same type of establishment. The other thing, there is this fascination, I guess, with college athletics. You know, it's sure. People think that it's not about money and it's not like it's, you know, it's all the pageantry and all the stuff you hear, which I think is a bunch of baloney, but it is, you know, that you have people that have that fascination with the quote unquote purity or whatever of the game. And I realize it's all money, but there is that college, that collegiate, that I'm playing for the name, you know, on the front of the jersey, not the back of the jersey, all that stuff. And I just don't think you get that same kind of feel when you're talking about professional sports.
1, 2, 3. Fourth down.
Well, tonight it's the men's championship. And after the final four games this weekend, we've got our matchup.
And that's it. Purdue, in pursuit of a championship, they will play for the national title. It's over. UConn is a machine. The Huskies will play for the national championship again.
Talk about a big man matchup. We saw it with DJ Burns and Zach Edey over the weekend, and then we saw UConn eventually pull away from Alabama on Saturday night. You know, those of us who had power in the house and didn't, you know, have it knocked out by the wind on Saturday. Right. But now we have probably the collision course that we were headed down all year with the two best teams in college basketball squaring off tonight, 7:20 tip-off on TBS.
Yeah, it should be a great matchup. Should be a great matchup.
UConn, 6.5-point favorite. I don't know if anybody's going to be able to beat the Huskies. They've got more options than Purdue. Zach Edey is going to have to be really good, but they're going to need to be able to knock down outside shots. I don't expect a barn burner 80 to, you know, 75 type of game.
Yeah.
I think we're going to be down more 63 to 55 type of action there. And, hey, I mean, look, UConn has been a juggernaut the last 2 years. We haven't seen a repeat champion in men's college basketball since 07-08. They've got a chance to cement some history tonight for the Huskies. There's no doubt about it.
That history is good for me. It hasn't been because I got Purdue.
And
I'm really.
You do have Purdue, don't you?
I'm leading the fan pick 'em.
How is that? I mean, we all got to look in the mirror real hard. I mean, come on, that's a little, I feel a little gross about that.
Yeah, you should.
If you can win our bracket pool, then anybody can win a bracket pool. Right.
There's no, I don't feel strong. I've got Purdue. Mace has, you know, Connecticut, Purdue in the finals as well.
Yeah.
But he's got Connecticut. I feel like I'm going to take one on the chin to Mace.
Well, look, I mean, I'm going to finish third in this thing. I just feel like it was my responsibility to let somebody else win after all my fan football pick'em wins. So now it's like, hey, why don't you take a turn? You know, you can have this one, and then I'll take the next four or five. You know?
Yes.
And that is what it is. That is what it is.
Perfect.
All right, concern level with Alexander Georgiev. Where do we stand? I see it all over the RamosLaw.com text line. It is a reaction Monday, 303-713-1043. Well, we'll dive to the text line.
I want to ask you when we come back, too. Bednar basically supporting him.
Yeah.
Is that Bednar believes he played well, or is that I got to pump my goalie up because my goalie hasn't been great this year? He was a lot better last year.
I'll answer it next.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Goaltender controversy? Question mark? Matt Smith in for Mike Evans? I don't know if I'd go that far.
Mm-hmm.
But let's see what the text line thinks. 303-713-1043 on the RamosLaw.com text line. It seems to me that the team would rally behind Anunin more than Georgiev right now. Okay. I mean, I feel like that's a little speculation there, but maybe. Eustace, I would say, I don't know, I feel like I got a little bit more confidence in him at the moment than Alexander Georgiev. I can't lie to you, Mark.
I do too. I just wonder, and I ask you this, like, is Bednar saying, hey, I thought Gorgie was pretty good in the pipes tonight, and you know, it was us giving up, you know, the power plays and us, you know, not attention to detail and giving up some rushes and things of that nature. Is that you trying to build the confidence of a goalie that you feel like has lost some of his confidence because he's not as good as he was last year? Or do you really feel that way? Do you really feel like Georgiev is playing pretty good hockey and you're really putting it on the rest of the players on your, you know, on your roster to try to up their game and get a little bit better attention to detail from the guys on your squad?
Of course, you're talking about these comments last night from Jared Bednar, and I figure let's just give a little context here.
I thought he was great tonight. I did. I mean, you can't fault him on any of the goals. I think there probably one that he legged back was the one that squeaked through him on the quick slip to the middle in the power play. But, I mean, he was good. I mean, we just, the quality, well, and quantity, like the defending breakdowns that we had, we did some dumb stuff today.
Yeah. And look, I get where he's coming from. I think there's a little bit of both parts of that coming on here. I mean, you give up three power play goals because you got an unfortunate double minor that Dallas cashes both ends of in the second period. If you're on the man, you know, on the man disadvantage for almost six straight minutes against a team like Dallas, it's tough to put too much of that on your goaltender. Now, that being said, I did agree with him on the one there he referenced. There was one I thought that he probably should have had back. I thought he brought more energy to the ice last night. But look, I mean, it's hard to argue with results. I mean, he's surrendered 12 goals in his last two starts.
What about the goal he gave up to Deshane?
Yeah, that was a bad one. You could probably put the first one in there as well. He kind of comes way too far out of his crease and mm-hmm. bites early, and Deshane just waited him out. Deshane always seems to get the abs at least once when they play him. I would have liked him to stay a little bit further into his crease there, but it's kind of tough. It's a one-on-one right. spot. I don't feel like that was really well played by Georgiev, but at the same time, you probably have to have that one, especially in the playoffs. So, yeah, I could see where fans are coming from. I really could. I mean, the interesting part about this is that it's now become a pretty divisive topic among Avalanche fans around here. Georgiev or Onanen. People are not happy. And I think part of it is what you brought up a little bit earlier, that he's just not what he was last year.
Right.
And so it's hard to have as much confidence in the guy if you've seen a better version of him, and now heading down to the playoffs where you need him the most, where is he to be found?
Yeah, I just felt like there was part of that seven goals, one of them obviously empty net, but there was part of Bednar's message last night was to try to prop up your goaltender, who, especially the last couple of nights, has gotten, you know, is given up, what, 13 goals or 12 goals in the last two nights or last two games. So I think part of that was to prop him up, and part of that was to say, hey, man, you know, this is not all your fault. Don't take all this on your shoulders. Like, there's a psychology behind what Bednar did there. Say he was great between the pipes. I don't think he was probably great, but I do feel like you're basically saying, hey, man, you're our guy, and I'm trying to get you in a mental frame of mind to understand that we have confidence in you.
And now Georgiev is starting to hear the noise. He's starting to get asked in the locker room,
sure.
Hey, how do you feel about your own game? Well, you just gave up six goals. What do you think they're trying to ask you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're poking and prodding at you a little bit. Here's another texter. Georgiev is a fine NHL goaltender. He's just not a Stanley Cup run type goalie. He just isn't. There was a reason he was a backup in New York. You know, when the Avs won with Darcy Kemper, he did have the worst save percentage for any Stanley Cup winning goaltender of all time.
Mm-hmm.
You don't necessarily need a Vezina caliber winning goaltender here. You just need average goaltending. Now, as Jared Bednar mentions, you need the guys in front of them to be a whole heck of a lot better than that, right. And you can't be on the penalty kill for six straight minutes against the best team in the West.
If you're going to have average goaltending, then you better have great defense, you better have attention to detail, and you better have a bunch of snipers on your team, and they have that. Now, Rantanen not being there hurt, right, but you have a bunch of snipers on you, you have a bunch of goal scorers. Like, you can score with anybody, but it's the opposite end of the ice that you've got to do. And last night, especially during the first period, once they got in there, they couldn't keep the puck in the offensive zone with the forechecking. They just did not do a very good job of that stuff.
It's not necessarily a goaltender controversy, but you're not winning the Stanley Cup with Georgiev between the pipes, says another texter. Like I said, you don't need Vezina winning goaltending. You need a bit above average goaltending, because the truth is the group in front of Georgiev this year is not what they were over their cup run. So the goaltending by and large probably does have to be a little bit better than it was.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that being said, you need everybody else. You need your dudes back. You need your horses back. You need Mikko and Miles Wood back, but you also need a better effort right out of the chute in that game. What's trending coming up next?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Here, Schlereth and Evans with What's Trending right now.
Good morning. Happy Monday. Matt Smith in for Mike Evans. Thanks for rocking with us. Mike will be back tomorrow, but Mark is in the building. Returned from a weekend trip in northern Idaho.
Yes.
What do they call northern Idaho? The the forgotten, you know, is that,
I don't know.
It's like the, what's the toe called next to the pinky?
Oh, next to the pinky.
Yeah, it's like, that's what Idaho is of America. It's like, oh yeah, that's a toe.
It's up there.
It's up there.
Right.
You know, just, there's no real purpose. I mean, maybe there's a purpose for it, but it just, you kind of forget about it sometimes.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous area, though. Up there in northern Idaho, just outside of Spokane, Washington. Beautiful.
Beautiful area.
Beautiful area.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, I'll leave that one alone. All right, first up in What's Trending, it came across late on a Sunday night. Bad blood in the water? I don't know, but chicken money drawing John Calipari down to Arkansas here as Coach Cal leaves the Kentucky Wildcats and is about to sign a 5-year deal to be the new head coach of the Razorbacks.
Look, Mr. Steinbrenner.
Moon mining for Tyler Chicken. Pretty impressive, George. Days with the New York Yankees and nights in Arkansas with a top flight bird out and a hen supervisor to boot. I am blown away. Blown, George. Blown.
Why are we talking about chicken money? Well, Calipari's relationship with John H. Tyson, a billionaire Arkansas benefactor, who is the chairman of Tyson Foods. So the Dino Nuggets, you know, the alphabet shapes, all that stuff that you know, maybe the Buffalo Bites.
I've played that private course before.
Oh.
The Purdue Chicken private course there in Arkansas.
Now is Purdue a subsidiary of Tyson?
Yeah, or yeah, maybe the Purdue or the
Tyson?
This
is a different one. Chicken magnate.
Yeah. But it has to be Tyson because that's the one in Arkansas, right? Where's Purdue at? Is Purdue?
I don't know where Purdue's chicken headquarters are.
Yeah, where's the Purdue's chicken headquarters? Okay, it must have been Tyson because I played the private course out there at a Walmart event I was at.
You just know so many billionaires, they all kind of blend together.
Well,
Purdue Farms is in Salisbury, Maryland.
Okay, yeah. So I played the Tyson, the private Tyson course.
So you played
maybe
the
toughest course I've ever played.
Why is that?
It just is, like, it's tight and there are obstacles. And if you hit it OB, if you don't hit it in the fairway, you ain't finding that ball. It's so thick. It is like, it literally is like a jungle.
Like you hit the hen house.
Yeah, it was awesome. They actually gave, like when you got there, they gave you like, not sleeves of balls, but they gave you the box.
A 10-piece?
Yeah, they gave you like, they gave you like 12. Then they gave you 2 cartons of balls. Like, you're going to lose a bunch of balls.
So, Calipari's going to make about $8.5 million more than he'd been making at Kentucky. Okay? Although his base salary is going to be less. Now, they're saying that the NIL backing, name, image, likeness, obviously you've got to be a big player in the name, image, likeness game if you want to have success in today's age in college basketball. And Kentucky fans have been getting all over Calipari for not adjusting from the one-and-done era to more of the transfer portal experience upperclassmen-laden teams that we've seen win. So now it sounds like he's going to be operating with one of the biggest name, image, likeness checkbooks in the country at Arkansas. Now the question then is begged, who takes his place at Kentucky?
Yeah, that's a great question. I have no idea.
Because Musselman was at Arkansas, went to USC.
Right.
He only went to USC because Andy Enfield went to SMU. They're saying maybe Rick Pitino? Has the sun set on Rick Pitino, though?
When was the last time Rick Pitino?
He's at St. John's right now.
He is at St. John's.
Yeah, yeah. He made his way back up after the fall from grace at Louisville.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it'll be interesting to see. Hey, how about Nico Medved? There's a name for you, Kentucky. Instead of go spend a bunch of money on some, you know, has-been big name, go get a guy who's a young up-and-comer who can take control of that program for the next 20, 30 years. I'd be looking at Nico.
I think he's done an unbelievable job. Now, I'm sure, and I don't know, but I'm sure people have come after him a little bit after this season, huh?
I've heard some rumors that he may have turned down a certain Big 12 school that I can't name, but
yeah. Really?
I have, hey, good for you, CSU fan. There's some good news.
Yeah.
Well, spring practice is underway in Boulder, and if you think that Coach Prime is just holding the players accountable, you'd be sorely mistaken.
Hey, guys, come here. Do y'all have PlayStations at home? Do y'all play PlayStations?
Yes, sir.
So you know down and distance and stuff.
Yes,
but why
sir.
You ain't doing your darn job?
Oh, even the chain gang can get it. You should have seen these kids running over there. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Just wide-eyed. Why are you doing your darn jobs?
Yeah.
You could see a little, you know, a little liquid coming down the leg there.
Right.
Okay. Coach Prime putting them on the spot, the chain gang.
Chain gang, come here. Do y'all have PlayStations at home? Do y'all play PlayStations?
Yes, sir.
So you know down and distance and stuff.
Yes,
but
sir.
Why you ain't doing your darn job?
Oh.
Your darn job. I learned your darn job.
Sure.
What else have I learned from Bull Junk?
Yes.
Bull Junk is big. There's some, he's got some good, you know, alternatives to cursing.
Some good vernacular?
Yeah, he does.
There's no question about it. All right, next up. Well, the Rockies won on opening day. Didn't look like they were going to.
Right.
Then they rallied. And in the bottom of the ninth, it was Ryan McMahon with the walk-off grand slam, which, I mean, what a better way to end opening day. Dick Monfort couldn't have dreamt it up any better.
Yeah, beautiful day, warm out,
you had,
walk them off.
You had fans in the stands.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after the game.
By the way, I was traveling on Friday. Do you know what the attendance was?
48,000 was what I read reported.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Next day, 29. Now, it was windy. There were some sickos out there on Saturday. If you went to Coors Field on Saturday, you got a couple of screws loose because the wind was whipping. But the point was, on Friday, the Rockies, they win 10-7. Then Pete Fairbanks, who's Pete Fairbanks? Rays reliever comes out and says, it was the curse of the humidor.
They're horrible. You mark that down, all caps for me. Horrible. No excuse, though. Didn't throw strikes, and that's what happens when you don't throw strikes. You get punished for it. So I'd love to see those come out of the humidor tomorrow in a little better shape before they get rubbed up. But, you know, that's nobody to blame but myself for not being able to adjust to some of the quality issues.
Horrible. Horrible. Put that down in all caps for me. Horrible.
What?
Horrible.
So what were the other pitchers using?
Right. Where did they get their baseballs?
How did they survive? You just got the bad balls? They only gave them to you?
They're horrible.
I guess.
You mark that down. All caps for me. Horrible.
Mark that down for me.
No excuse, though. Horrible. Didn't throw strikes.
No excuse. Didn't throw strikes. Horrible.
Didn't throw strikes.
Dude, no, you lost to the Rockies. You got walked off by the Rockies. You just have to eat this one. Sometimes in life, you just take an L, and you just got to eat it. You got to own it. Be a man.
Hey, at least you got walked off by McMahon, who can swing the bat.
That's right.
You know, you get walked off by McMahon. You get walked off by Charlie. Tip your cap. Those guys are professional baseball players. Now, you get walked off by Iron Man, that's a different story.
That one was right down Broadway.
Right.
A little too much cheese on that meatball. Anyway. That's what's trending. Coming up next, we'll check some of your reaction from the RamosLaw.com text line. Schlereth has a coronation to attend coming up next. And it's a very special week upcoming. Matt Smith in for Mike Evans alongside Stink. It's the Fan.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver Sports Station. 104.3, the Fan.
Work so hard, forgot how to vacation.
Happy Monday. Back at it. You know, they say the intention you start the day with on Monday sets the tone for your whole week, Mark. That's what they say. At least that's what I've been told.
So what was that again?
The intention you start your day with on Monday sets the tone for your whole week.
Okay.
Yeah. So what's the thought? What's the intention that you're starting your week with this week?
Oh, it's the same thing I start my week with every day. Just be intentional about having gratitude. So I'm just very thankful. Get up. Hey, bottom line is, life's not going to wait for you. So I'm going to get up and push through.
Got to get after it. I mean, it's Monday morning. Got to attack
this
thing.
Attack the day.
Matt Smith in for Mike Evans.
Like Jim Harbaugh says, attack the day with enthusiasm unknown to mankind.
Who's got it better than us?
Nobody.
Nobody.
He got it better than us. Nobody.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Huge week, by the way. It is Masters Week. Hello, friends.
Is it really Masters Week?
Masters Week.
Wow.
The 88th Masters. The 88th. So get that pimento cheese, you know, those sandwiches.
Mm-hmm.
You ever had a pimento cheese sandwich?
No, I have not.
Does that sound good to you?
I like cheese sandwiches.
What is pimento cheese?
I don't know
is it,
exactly.
Is it some sort of spread?
I don't know what pimento. I always just thought it had something in it.
You know, if they cut away to you on the Masters broadcast, catch you at the snack bar. Well, that's a large man.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like he's double-fisting pimento cheese sandwiches.
And it looks like he's very happy at this snack shack.
With another peach ice cream sandwich coming his way for $2.50.
Yeah, you do have to say it in a whisper. They have a lot of, you can't call them fans. You know you get fired if you call the people of the Masters fans? It's a rule. You have to call them patrons.
You ever see a squirrel at Augusta?
No, they kill them all, I think. All squirrels are gathered up and escorted off the premises.
Cinderella boy, Cinderella man. Going for his first shot at it.
You know what, like, always bothers me?
What's that?
When they cut to, who's Tiger's old caddy? What's his name?
Oh, Fuzzy, that one?
No, Joe LaCava? It's not Fuzzy, it's,
Was he still with Joe?
I don't know.
Okay, what's your point?
Like, every time, so they cut to him, right, because he's good, he's like an analyst now. He's out there on the course.
Uh-huh.
And they'll, every time they cut to him, he's always like, yeah. Like, super whispery.
Well, it's golf.
I know, but it's like, golf. Dude, why do you have to whisper
because
like that?
Because it's Augusta National. And if you speak at a normal voice, you are instantly thrown off the ground. That's why. That's
it's just
why.
Funny. Every time they cut to him, it's like...
By the way, I just read a tweet from the Masters official account.
Uh-huh.
They're saying that the... Sorry. I just read a tweet from the Masters official account.
Okay.
And they're saying that the premier place to watch the total solar eclipse, which we're going to have this afternoon, is at Amen Corner.
Really?
And they're handing out the solar eclipse glasses.
Right. You're not supposed to look directly into the solar eclipse,
is
right?
That... Are we sure that's the rule?
I don't know. It burns your retinas or something.
I've been looking into eclipses my whole life. Are you telling me I shouldn't have been doing that?
You go instantly blind. I'm surprised you can even see right now.
It is a little fuzzy now that you
Although my grandkids were really excited about this. It's a lunar eclipse, right?
Is it a solar eclipse?
Solar eclipse?
What's the difference between a lunar eclipse?
Does
it mean the moon is in front?
I thought the moon got in front of the sun. That's a solar eclipse, or what's a
lunar
eclipse?
Well, that would make it dark, right? Because that makes sense. It's a lunar eclipse, right? You've eclipsed
the sun.
The lunar.
So this time the sun gets in front of the moon? But I don't know what the difference is. No clue.
Quick Google says lunar eclipse can last for a few hours. Solar eclipse lasts only a few minutes.
Wow. Wow.
It's the kind of information you get here.
Right there.
Slurs and
Evans.
Right.
Would you like to know when you can catch the solar? So it's a lunar eclipse or a solar eclipse?
Today it's solar.
Okay. And we've established it's the sun that gets in front of the moon.
Sure.
Okay.
No, it's got to be the moon that gets in front of the sun. Sun's always like, that's just called day.
That's just
when the
called
sun, when the sun,
waking up. That's a regular
when the sun
Monday.
Gets in front of the moon, that's just called daytime.
All right, so here's the situation of Colorado. You're going to see a partial solar eclipse roughly between 11:30 and 1:30 today with a max partial eclipse around 12:30 this afternoon. Depending upon where you are in Colorado, you'll see a 54 to 78% solar eclipse. Sounds like the southeast corner of Colorado will see the greatest amount of totality with Springfield, Holly, Lamar, blah, blah, blah. Northwest Colorado, about 60%. Denver will reach 65% totality during the solar eclipse. So essentially, what does this mean? That it's just going to get a little dark?
I don't know.
It's going to feel like the clouds are going to roll in?
Call me when we can get 100% around here. I'm sick
of it. Yeah, I mean,
like,
come on.
It's like watching the Broncos, 60%. Like, I want 100%.
I have to watch 60% of a quarterback.
Right, I want 100% of an eclipse. Otherwise, I'm not going to waste my time with it.
You know, there's this, apparently it's a big deal. Like, people are traveling all across the country just for, like, a five-minute event.
Yeah, Dallas, specifically.
Is it Dallas?
They're traveling to, yeah.
I heard Niagara Falls, they're doing it up there.
Yeah, it's going from, like, the trail's, like, from down in Mexico, then it goes up towards, like, the northeast.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been your astrology.
Johnny, you know a lot about...
I mean, this is impressive.
It's been all over social media.
Like, oh, it's been all over, has it? Sounds like you might
a lot
be...
on Twitter.
Thank you.
Nice.
Sounds like you might be a little bit of an eclipse fan here. An eclipse nerd.
Nope, just on Twitter way too much.
Uh-huh.
Okay, there you go.
All right, moving on now. There are a few things that we definitely need to get to. We've got a men's national championship to play tonight. Purdue and UConn. Battle a couple big men. Zach Edey, Donovan Klingon. UConn's got a chance to repeat as national champions in men's college basketball for the first time since 07-08. Mm-hmm. It's pretty crazy to think about. We really haven't been close since then with that run with Billy Donovan and Joakim Noah. You know, Corey Brewer was on that team. Al Horford was on that team. UConn has a chance to make history.
They do. And by all, I mean, look what they've done throughout this tournament run and going all the way back to their tournament. Like, they've just been blowing teams out. They have been handling people.
The average margin of victory combined the last 2 years in the tournament is over 20 points per game.
Yeah.
Over 20 points per game. And, of course, they beat Alabama in the nightcap on Saturday. It's a good game. Alabama gave them a good run. Mm-hmm. But in the end, UConn did what they've been doing to everybody else, which eventually they just pull away from you and you don't have enough. And I think that is going to be a big factor tonight to tonight's matchup. I think UConn has more options. Mm-hmm. They can beat you however you want it. You know what I mean? You want to run up and down. You want to play the transition game. The Huskies can do that. You want to slow it down. You want to play in a half court.
Mm-hmm.
They can do that too. Purdue's more of a half court team with Zach Edey.
Yeah.
DJ Burns, I don't know if you were watching it, but during the NC State-Purdue game, DJ Burns was laughing with Zach Edey, like running up and down the floor. Mm-hmm. And afterwards, he was asked about it. I just told him, dude, you're big as hell. Right. That's what he said, dude. Yeah. I just told him, you're huge. And eventually, you know, it's DJ Burns. I mean, take it from a guy in me who doesn't get very far off the floor when he jumps.
Right.
It's hard to shoot over a 7'4" kid.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, Edey is, obviously, he's huge. And the one thing that they constantly do, you know, when they throw it down into him, and I get worried about ball security at times, and he's not the most prolific of scorers. He didn't have, you know, Jokic's touch or Jokic's game, but they eventually send a double team to him. He kicks it out. If you can knock down threes, you've got a chance to upset UConn. I know UConn's, what, 6.5-point favorite?
6.5-point favorite.
But if Purdue can knock down threes, because they will, you know, they will collapse around Edey, because sure, he is that big and he is that potentially dangerous. If they can shoot threes, they've got a chance. If they don't knock down threes, I think they lose.
I just hope it's not a ref show, you know, because you've got a swing the beef battle in the paint, okay, with two big fellas, 7'4 and 7'2. The last thing any of us is trying to tune in to see tonight are those two kids on the bench.
Right.
We don't need to see that.
No.
Let the big man go at it. That's what we want to see.
Right.
So tonight, it's a 7:20 tip-off, Purdue and UConn. Again, the Huskies, they're trying to repeat. You know, there's been this huge collection, and I would say it's probably split down the middle. You've got Coach Prime, who completely embraces NIL. But then you've got, you know, some of these basketball coaches, like Dan Hurley, the coach of UConn, who says, honest to goodness, I've just been thrilled the last 2 weeks that I didn't have to pay attention to any of the transfer portal crap. I've got an excuse to say my season's still going on.
Right.
Because the way it works in college basketball is as soon as the conference tournaments are over, the portal opens. So it's actually a disadvantage for the teams that make the tournament, because everybody else in the country gets to play the portal game. Now, they didn't make the postseason. They didn't make the ultimate tournament. Mm-hmm. But you're kind of behind the eight ball. That's a rule I would think that needs to change.
Yeah, it's just kind of like with college football when every bowl game you tuned into, hey, making his first start at quarterback is, you know, the freshman, blah, 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 because everybody was in the portal. You know, your starting quarterback decided, hey, I'm going to go somewhere else. So it just is, it is, you know, it's kind of the Wild West, and I think at some point they need to establish, the NCAA does, you know, some ground rules. And I'm all for kids, you know, getting paid and stuff, but there needs to be a little bit of there needs to be some rules in place to kind of manage what's going on right now.
You said you were up in Idaho this weekend.
Yeah.
Up in North Idaho, mm-hmm, doing a little banquet. Somebody said, you know, Mark, you're talking about big NIL money up in Idaho. That's big potato money. Big potato money.
Well, the Vandy's lost some. Vandals lost some of their guys to NIL.
Didn't pick any up, huh? I thought you said they're working with that big potato money.
I don't know. I'm sure they picked a couple guys up, but they lost their starting quarterback. I think he went to Oregon State.
From playing in that Kibbe Dome, you know, it's funny. When I was up there,
uh-huh,
you told me that your statue was right out front, mm-hmm. but the guys up there told me, and of course I was up there because CU played at Washington State, mm-hmm. so I drove by the Kibbe Dome because I was like, well, now I need to see this shrine that Mark just goes on and on about, and I went up there, and the maintenance guy said it was in the back being polished.
They polished the trophy, or polished the statue before. You know,
how was it looking when you got, I assume it was back when you got up there.
Well, I was in Coeur d'Alene, which is about 80 miles.
Didn't make it
80
down.
Miles away. Didn't so I didn't it make down. It to Moscow. But I'm sure it looks tremendous.
Yesterday in the women's national championship game, which by the way, we're going to have a third consecutive record for most watched women's basketball game of all time. Iowa and LSU did it at 12 million.
Mm-hmm.
And then Iowa and UConn, 14 million, peaked at 17.
It's unbelievable.
That's unbelievable. ESPN said it was their most watched basketball game, college or pro, ever. Not women's or men's.
Right.
That's remarkable.
Just for comparison's sake, when they put the NBA, like the finals on ABC, those finals numbers are fours and fives. Right?
You're talking about triple the viewership.
Right. There are like 5 million people watching the NBA finals.
I think there were only five more five college football games last year that outdrew it, which, I mean, I can only imagine what it's going to be like for South Carolina and for Iowa yesterday. A little bit from that game, here was Caitlin Clark afterwards. Yes, Iowa fell short for the second consecutive year in the national title game, but that didn't stop Caitlin Clark from feeling pretty proud of what she's accomplished.
Yeah, it's certainly been a special year, and to be honest, like, after last year, I was kind of like, well, how do we top doing what we did last year? And somehow, some way, every single person in our locker room believed. And to be honest, this year was probably more special than last year. You know, the teams we had to go through to get to this point, you know, we won the Big Ten tournament. We lost two players that were 3-year starters for our program. And to be back in this position and come out here and battle, I mean, South Carolina is just so good. Like, there's only so much you can do. I mean, Cardoso has 17 rebounds. They have 51 as a team. We have 29. Like, hard to win a basketball game like that. You basically got to shoot perfect at that point. And, you know, I'm just proud of our group. We, you know, we never back down.
I mean, she's not wrong. And I think the interesting part here is some of the backlash that she's taken over the weekend. And it's not necessarily from, you know, people on social media. It's from the game's greats. From legends.
Mm-hmm.
Women's basketball forever has been asking for eyeballs, has been asking for people to pay attention. And now people finally are, to a serious degree where it has taken the main stage. I don't even think it's controversial to say that the women's tournament unequivocally has more buzz than the men's tournament this year. Do you?
No, I don't think so at all. I mean, you look at the numbers they put up. You look at the excitement. You look at people talking about it. I mean, nobody's talking about, I can't wait to watch Edie.
Right.
Like they were talking about the Caitlin Clark. So, yes, I think there's no question that the women's tournament has outshined and outperformed. And, you know, it's just there's more people that are enthusiastic about that than they are about the men's tournament. And good for them. And it's, you know, it's a lot of that falls on Caitlin Clark's shoulders, what she's done for the game.
And over the weekend, on the alternate broadcast on ESPN2, Diana Taurasi, Sue Bird, they do that for ESPN, similar to how they do it for the college football playoff, where they have the coaches' shows,
right.
You know, the alternate broadcast. This was Taurasi doing a hit with SVP after Iowa beat UConn, okay? I want you to take a listen to this.
Look, SVP, reality is coming.
Okay.
You know, there's levels to this thing, and that's just life. We all went through it.
Of course.
And you see it on the NBA side, and you're going to see it on this side, where, you know, you look superhuman playing against 18-year-olds, but you're going to come with some grown women that have been playing professional basketball for a long time. Not saying that it's not going to translate, because when you're great at what you do, you're just going to get better. But there is going to be a transition period where you're going to have to give yourself some grace as a rookie. And, you know, it might take a little bit longer for some people.
She also, in that spot with SVP on SportsCenter, said that she would pick Paige Beckers over Caitlin Clark first overall. Now, we have to acknowledge here, she's an Iowa player, a UConn player. Sue Bird went to UConn. Breonna Stewart also went to UConn. Mm-hmm. These are the girls that are kind of, you know, pushing back a little bit on all this Caitlin Clark hype. Do you think they're missing the mark here?
No, I mean, that's the reality is, you know, she is being completely honest. And that wasn't derogatory towards Caitlin Clark. That was just the reality of, hey, you get to the WNBA, not only are you a really good player, but everybody's a really good player. And, oh, by the way, you'll have a target because we're going to challenge you because that's what we do. And that's the reality of taking the step to the next level. And I tell you what, it's overwhelming, and I've seen a lot of guys be overwhelmed that get into the National Football League that played at big schools that just dominate teams. And so they really have never been challenged. And all of a sudden, like you get into the league and you start to realize every weekend the players that we play against, there are no blind sisters of the poor. We don't have a weekend off. You know, it is not one of those where we're going to roll out and score 50. It just doesn't work that way.
No.
And they're telling them.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.